This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Legendary Charlottesville developer Gabe Silverman joins me live in studio, and it's an honor to have you here. It really is. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
Pleasure, Coy.
So this is something we've been trying to set up. I've been asking you to be on this program now for over a couple of years. I've seen you at, just around town, or I've literally pulled up next to you at stoplights and rolled down the window. When are you going to come on my radio show? And you're like, well, I'm getting ready to go out of the country, or I got to go do this, so try me next week or call me next month. And I finally got you at the right time, and I'm thrilled that this worked out.
One of the reasons you actually got me at the right time is the conversation you and I had about autism.
Yeah, that's right. We were talking just the other day about that.
Yeah. You know, one of the issues that you brought up, well, I asked you, you had mentioned that one of your children, it might be you only have one child, I don't know.
I have 7-year-old twins and my son, I have boy-girl twins, and my son was diagnosed with autism at the age of 2.
And when we talked about it, what really, I guess, turned my way of looking at what you do and the idea of coming onto the station around was when I point blank asked you, well, how do you look at the future for your son? What place does he have, not only just as a caregiver, if that's what you end up, but how has our town responded to people such as your son, people that don't have an education, color, so forth and so on?
Yeah.
We tend to respond heavy-handed towards, let's say, drugs, crossing the street against the red light, a number of other things that don't seem to have that much importance. And yet here we have somebody that has a child that's wondering what happens in the future.
Yeah. And there's tens of thousands of families like mine, Gabe, who really are wondering, what are we going to do with these kids? You have this whole bubble of autism now in the age spectrum. And most of them are now in grade school. But they're going to be teenagers one day. They're going to be in their 20s one day, in their 30s. What are we going to do as a nation, as a community, as Charlottesville? I mean, what do we do with all of these children? And I don't have an answer for you. I really don't. Right now, the society does not really value them. It's sort of thrown up their hands and said, "Oh my gosh, you know, we don't know what to do with these kids." And so you have so many parents now going broke, and the divorce rate with families of autism is through the roof because the stress is unbelievable. It's amazing what's happening to these families who are bearing so much of this all on their own.
Well, you know, and when you started this program and you said God's country, I felt like saying, why don't you shove that concept right up someplace? Because it's not God's country. It's really our town. So what are we doing to address not only the issues that you just put forth, but some of the other issues that are here? If we look to what supposedly we have as political leadership, my gut reaction is we have no leadership. We most assuredly don't have anybody in what we consider a political office doing anything for you or the majority of people here. I'm not faulting them in the sense that their beliefs may think that or may put them in a situation where they say, well, we are doing something. Well, whether you know who I am or not, I mean, I'm involved and I try to stay involved with people within the community. And I've not seen the city really step up to be counted from a community point of view. The other, and I know that you work at the university, the image of the university to me is a gated community. One thing, it has a pretty good sized rock wall that says, don't come over. And I'd like to ask, what are we doing to incorporate and bring the university within our community, to bring them as part of our community instead of keeping them within that gated community? Each time I've dealt with the university or the city, the answers that come back are sort of childish, or leave us alone, or you can't do anything. And so I look at the city as basically being on the chessboard, but having very little power. I'm sure we could say that we're maybe a pawn on the chessboard, and a pawn could win the chess game. But you want whoever's moving that pawn to have enough understanding of what we have to have here for our community for the future, not just today. And we can't just look at the past and say, well, Thomas Jefferson was a great man, and he was able to deal with his slaves in a particular way, and he's still our leader. It's time to just move on from that. It's time to start saying, what are our needs, and not just look at the university saying this is what your needs are, or the city saying these are what your needs are, but for our community to get together and say this is what our real needs are. And I guess the first step would be to get rid of five council members, none of which I would hire, and have an elected mayor so we all have a choice, instead of having one of the five decide who's going to get to play in the sandbox and get to be mayor.
We're talking with Gabe Silverman live in studio, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you'd like to join this conversation. Gabe, before I get ahead of myself here, let me back up and just ask you a little, give us a Gabe Silverman 101, a little bit about your background, where you're from, how you ended up in Charlottesville, when you moved here, and how you got into the development work that you're so well known for.
I was born in Juarez, Mexico. Both my parents immigrated to America, first to Mexico. They were, it was an arranged marriage. They hated each other. They moved to America because my mother thought that the streets were paved in gold. At a very early age, he was beat up, put in the hospital for quite a bit of time. I became a citizen when I was 19, I went to the University of California at Berkeley, spent 9 years there getting a bachelor's. Sometimes it took a little more time because I had to first find out what it was like to have a good time, whether it was drugs, sex, or whatever. From there, I moved to Los Angeles, went back to Berkeley just to visit, who ended up being my brother-in-law, met his sister. Asked her to move to Los Angeles with me. She said she would if I promised to move back to Europe, which I promised. Her brother moved to Mendocino. I moved to Geneva, Switzerland, worked as an architect. Came back to America when Kia, my first child, my eldest daughter, was conceived. And it was my decision to come back. We flipped a coin to the East Coast or West Coast. We ended up on the West Coast. I then met my partner, Alan Kajin, there. I was working as an architect. I had a little girl, which was wonderful. Had no idea what it was like to be a father, so both my wife, Karen, and I started seeing a psychiatrist to deal with that. We moved up to Mendocino at one time. Her brother had gotten addicted to heroin while we were both in college. We were doing our own forms of entertainment. He seemed to have stayed still with that one. We then came here because my wife thought that the West Coast was going to fall in the ocean. And we moved to Ithaca, New York, where my wife had gone to Cornell. Great, great little community.
Yeah, it is. Ithaca's beautiful.
Got really cold. Heating pipes froze on Christmas Eve, and I said, we're out of here, and ended up here.
Now, how'd you find Charlottesville, though, from Ithaca? Just another university town? Was that what you were looking for?
No. We had, Karen's brother was here seeing a good friend of mine, Michael Underhill, who I had met up in Mendocino during those times where you would go into the woods and rarely come back with any wood. I knew he was here, and Karen's brother had come to see him, and we came down here, and I built a house.
And when was this?
23 years ago.
So back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We're talking with Gabe Silverman live in studio. We're honored to have him here. And the phone lines are always open for you at 977-1070. How did you get into development? You said you built a house. Was that the beginnings?
I built an underground house. You know, back then, what you're talking about, this town, as a couple of examples, I remember, some great stories. I remember coming here with my wife, and we went to Jefferson National Bank, and we opened up some accounts. I mean, this is back in the old days, I guess, to some extent. And I said to the person we were dealing with, wonderful man, I said, my wife will just deal with this stuff. And he said, sir, that's not how we do it here in the South. That's the man's job. You know, so that was sort of the first inkling. But what really got me going, and I started a construction company and a couple of other things, but to show you how wonderful this town really was and still is, the old Mickey Company, which is a printing plant doing law books, I heard that they were thinking of selling it. And I walked in and I met the gentleman and I said I'd be interested in buying it. And I told him a price that I thought was fair, and he said, that's fair, and we shook hands. And I went my merry way, and he did his, and I assumed, you know, it was a deal. There was no paper, nothing. And it came time to close, and he said, I've given you my word. I know it's worth more, but I gave you my word. And that meant a whole lot, and this town ran on its word during that time. And some of those people are still here. It's changed quite a bit. And the word's meaning has changed quite a bit, but that's how I got it established here.
Yeah. And this was over on Market Street, is that right?
Right across from the City Hall and the Police Department.
Yeah. And that was the first home of Live Arts. I remember when I came here in 89, that's when I first heard your name, was 20 years ago. And somebody said, yeah, Gabe Silverman, he's the guy developing this building where Live Arts is. And we used to go in there for their rave parties where they had all the psychedelics on the wall and you could dance up on these risers. And
yeah, but you got to remember that that wouldn't have happened. Sure, I was there, but it wouldn't have happened if Will, Thane, and a number of other people hadn't shown up and said, look, we have no money. We have an idea. What can we do to work together? And that was instrumental in starting to change the town, and now you have something like the real theater that they had built.
Yeah, but and that's how it started.
Yeah.
They just came to you and said, we need a space, we have an idea.
Yeah, and we have practically nothing, and we all worked together. And that was spectacular, and that made me feel really good.
Yeah. So, what was your initial reaction, though, when those guys approached you with the idea for what would become Live Arts? What was your initial gut reaction?
Are we talking about personalities? Because you told me I can't use some of those words. You know, there was a storyteller, Michael. There was Fran. There was Will. There was Thane. There was Alan, my partner, Alan Kajin, that's out on the West Coast. And so, you know, I understood a little more of the community. Alan did not understand it. What was my response? I looked at that as something that could be a cornerstone for what I was trying to do. I was mostly interested in art-related tenants at that time.
Yeah,
still am.
Yeah. We're talking with legendary Charlottesville developer Gabe Silverman. He's live in studio this hour on Charlottesville Right Now. We'll continue this discussion on the other side of this break for local news and weather. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
Tis a between the birthday of it, I say. Name where my for a time. Name where my pilgrim bride. From me, and I'm out of the ring. The shining
silver. 37 minutes after 4 o'clock in Central Virginia. It's 85 degrees. I'm Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. I hope you're having a wonderful afternoon. Happy little Friday. Hal Spencer joins me in the 5 o'clock hour. Spread the word! Let's rejoin our conversation with Gabe Silverman, known locally as a developer. Lots of, what are you saying stop for?
Go ahead.
We were talking before we went to a break, and you were saying that when you started out in development, you were really interested in the arts, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but providing a place in town for artists to do their work.
Karen started teaching. She started the first school in Johannesburg, South Africa.
And Karen, of course, is your late wife, right?
Yeah, for kids of color. And she got a tremendous amount of static of that. But when we moved to San Francisco and then here, and she was a spectacular artist, while our kids were growing up, she started teaching other kids art. And I mean, I think one could go out and find a tremendous number of painters today who was influenced by Karen. So we came here, and because I, being involved with architecture and the arts, we came here, she being an artist, it was just natural for us to look at how do we want to build a community around us dealing with the arts. There was a significant number of artists here, both musicians, painters, different forms of art. And first she had a school on our farm in Batesville, teaching the young kids. Then when we moved here, when I came into town and bought the old Mickey, and we went to the city to have it zoned as a mixed use, it was predominantly for artists, and she started a school within there, or classes for young kids. And I mean, that reinforced, she used to get in arguments with both Alan and Jerry and myself as to where our money should go, and she insisted that we continue to support, regardless of what we had to pay to keep the building, the arts.
Yeah. Wasn't that where that private school, the arts, didn't that private school meet in that building as well, the arts and environment school? What was that?
Oh, you're talking about Ernie's school.
Yeah.
And his school was an alternative similar to what Tandem was at that time.
Yeah,
his was different,
yeah.
And his continued on as Tandem changed, because Tandem has changed. And he recently just, his wife died, and he had given his life, and still does, to the kids. And he just said it's time for him to live his life.
Yeah.
So he's done that.
We're talking with Gabe Silverman. Tell me about the train station, because I remember coming over, I wrote a cover story about you and that project for the SIVA Weekly back in the mid-90s. And I remember spending the afternoon with you up there in the train station, having a fantastic time looking at all your antique toy collection that you have. Tell me about that whole project and reflect on it now, looking back.
Well, that was a you know, we bought that, but as an aside, Robert, what first comes to mind is Robert Reed, who is a wonderful, phenomenal artist that teaches at Yale, who was from Charlottesville. And I ran into him at a show at Second Street, and we talked for whatever reason. The train station came up, and he asked, and he actually ended up having a studio here because of our meeting, but he asked for a mirror out of the train station.
A mirror.
Out of one of the bathrooms. And I said, what do you want that mirror for? And he said, well, I'm black, and that mirror is coming out of one of those bathrooms, and all the faces that looked into it, I want that mirror. And, you know, I then looked a little closer at that train station, and that was a segregated train station. One floor was for black, one floor was for white. And this individual came back to this town because of the meeting that we had and worked in this town and did a tremendous amount for the artist here. And he came back not because of the town, but he came back because the town had embraced people like my wife, people like Fran or Michael or Will or Thane, and changed. And he felt comfortable in coming back. And people like Robert Reed made me aware of how this town could change. And we continued to do things, and we reached out, and both my partners supported that whole concept. And we still do. Just about everything I do relates to how it will change this town. You know, has the town changed? At times I think I've done more damage to this town than anybody else. And then I have to say that the city planners here and the other people of our city have probably continued to do even more damage. So I feel responsible to some extent of what happened to this town and what's happening, so I still try to change it. I mean, one of the concepts, I wanted to bring an aerial tramway here from the airport to the train station to downtown to PVCC and then to Thomas Jefferson's home. I remember trying to bring anything here that's out of the ordinary or anything that you could see a result from by tomorrow is pretty much poo-pooed. I forgot what you even asked me.
We're talking with developer Gabe Silverman live in studio. Talk a little bit about the vision that you had for Blue Ridge Hospital and what you wanted to do there, because I remember when I first heard that, I was such a big fan of that idea and so disappointed still to this day that hasn't materialized yet. Doesn't mean it won't. But share that vision with folks for this facility that you envision. One of your dreams. You've had many dreams, and some of them have become part of the fabric of this town. But this one has yet to have been realized. What is this?
This comes, again, just looking around and looking at the kids and looking at the adults and realizing that we all have certain gifts that may or may not be realized. And I started saying, well, you know, here's a child that can't read or write. Here's an adult that can't read or write, possibly because he doesn't have the aptitude, possibly because of just how he was brought up, maybe color, maybe religion. And I said, what could we do and how would I change things if I could? And so I came up with the idea, the concept of an architectural craft school. And so both Alan and Jerry and myself, we started traveling to Venice to look at the school there. We looked at the Manchester Guild, which is up in Pittsburgh, Pilchuck, which is out of the West Coast. And we used those models to say, well, what could we do to bring education change to this little town? And so we looked at architectural crafts, you know, whether it was learning to restore woodworking or wood, making ironwork, learning to make a sword, the Japanese method.
Glass blowing.
I mean, it went on and on and on.
Yeah.
So both my wife and my partners, we reached out to all these other people. I remember to Rita Dove, to Sissy Spacek, to Julian Bond, to a number of people. And we put together this program and we looked at Blue Ridge, which was sitting there empty. And we said, this would be a perfect place because the kids and the adults, we could have the teachers living there, the kids could be coming up there, they could go to PVC, you have Monticello, so you have 200,000 or 300,000 people that'll drive by and they'll stop and see. And so we put the program together and we went to see, we found out that actually the state owned it. So we talked to a gentleman called Bombershield down in Richmond. So I'm trying to give you the background on it. He said, please, he looked at the concept, the business plan, he said, we'd love you to have it. The University of Virginia controls it. So I went to Leonard Sandridge, I went to John Castine at that time, and I said, this is something we'd like to do.
And this would have been a school, one of only, you know, a handful of these kind of things in the world.
It doesn't exist. I mean, putting the whole thing together the way we looked at it doesn't exist. When we went to the United States Senate, to Senator Jeffords' office, they looked at this concept and said, it's the finest thing that we've ever heard of. We went there asking for money. We asked for $1 million. They offered us $2 million if we had a place to do it. We went back to John Castine, the guy that's going to retire pretty soon. Probably should have retired a little earlier. And I said, look, we got $2 million. I was there with my wife. We need Blue Ridge. And this, so I've got to give a little more. This went on. This is towards the end because John and Leonard actually tried, which cost us $10,000 when we went to PVCC and gave that to Deborah DeCroce, who all she had to do was say yes, no sweat off her behind, and this school would have existed. We went back afterwards to Leonard, and, no, actually to John, and John said, how'd you get the money? And I said, that's of no consequence how we got the money, but this money could change a lot of people's lives. All we need is Blue Ridge. It still hasn't happened. Blue Ridge is destroyed.
So the university didn't give you the property to create this school of arts and crafts for a whole new generation of
kids. That's right.
Of
this
kids.
Is, you know, this is the university.
Instead, they tore it down.
Well, basically, yeah. You know, I remember John Castine saying, there's no way you could convert those buildings. You know, it's filled with piss and everything else. You can't get the smell out. Let me tell you, when I did something to a building similar to that as a child, I said, oh, shit, man. You know, come on. But anyway, we couldn't get him to do it. I remember going to David Toscano. I remember going to a lot of people trying to get them to understand that we had a real wonderful concept, and it was for the kids, but it was really for the community.
And it would have been right here in Charlottesville, and doors open to so many of these, whether it's a special needs child or a kid who just can't, school is not for him or her, they could go to this school and learn, you know, every kind
of
all sorts of art, glass blowing and woodworking and just amazing, amazing skills that they are not only a craftsman, they're an artist.
Well, here's a great story. Greystone was up in New Jersey, and Ben and Jerry went to Greystone, which was another program, and said, will you make the chocolate chip fill for our ice cream? Which they did. They delivered it. This is short. They delivered to Ben and Jerry's, and Ben and Jerry said, this is disgusting, inedible. But they didn't just walk away from Greystone. They said, go back and do it again. So in essence, what I was trying to do is start a school here that may have not been perfect at the start, but I wanted to be able to say, go back and do it a little, you know, do it again. No one within this community, within the political structure, UVA, or the city, gave a good goddamn. And the money was there. The hearts were there. And these are the politicians that are telling you what you need today and the university that's telling you what's going to be good for you. You know, I feel that it could change, and hopefully it will. So I don't know. And Karen, about the school, when we were both real saddened by it, she just said it's just not its time.
Yeah. We're talking with Gabe Silverman, legendary Charlottesville developer. We're honored to have him live in studio. So, Gabe, what do you think needs to happen? I mean, looking forward now, what do you want to see in terms of development in Charlottesville?
I think in order to look 50 years down the line, 100 years down the line, which you have to, you can't look to just tomorrow. You have to have leadership. And in order to have leadership, you have to have a desire to put that leadership in place. And right now, you don't have it. And I think having elected a mayor would be probably the first step. You got to remember, the five council members there at any time, three out of the five could say, we need an elected mayor, and you get an elected mayor. That means that your city manager is gone. You could decide how you feel about that. It means the five council members are gone. What it does mean is you have one person that you could vote in or out instead of wasting your time with five that you would never have hired to begin with. So I think that's the first. And the other is to take an interest in the future, knowing that you're going to be dead when that future comes around. And it's for your kids, it's for your community, and it's for the pride of community. I think you got to stop looking at today and look at way down the future.
Yeah. Now, besides this school, which of course you know I'm a huge fan of, and I'd love to do anything I could do to make that a reality. It's such a fantastic idea, and this is the perfect place for it. But again, it's going to take leadership and political leadership in this community especially to make that happen. But
take balls.
Now, aside from that, I'm curious, what else is out there that you haven't done yet that you'd love to see happen?
You know, what you're asking, in order for me to do anything, I need the help of the people around me. So I can't do much without the help of others. And so I could only do what I think I can do slowly and a little bit at a time. I mean, we are the marketplace that we put on West Main Street, the train station that you asked about. You know, it's not just me. There's Corn, there's me, there's a number of other developers here that own key pieces of property. Some are hoping that others will come in and buy. And if you look at the Frank Ix that we have, that's 17 acres, two blocks away from the downtown mall. You would think that the city would be reaching out to see what that's going to hold for the future. You know, Phil, that ACAC is doing that and changing it. What are we seeing? The private developers are doing as best as they can, but the big gorilla that could make the difference is the university. The baby gorilla is the city, politics. There's not much I can do. I do what I can. And the other is, remember, I'm going to die pretty soon too. So how much can I do? You know, so it's really up to the people out there. You know, back to the school for a second.
Yeah.
What brought that up? Wick McNeely, who was a supporter of it, he owns Allied Concrete. He said, I need something like that because I need masons. Right now I'm producing concrete and brick, but pretty soon there'll be nobody that knows how to do it. It's not just the small part. So one of the concepts I had with the school was to build a library that would take 100 years. Who cares how long it took? But it'd be an ongoing project here. You'd be training people. You'd have the greats. You'd have the architects, the artists, everybody working together. And you're not going to have it done in your lifetime. It'll be the third generation. Something like that. You do something that you know you can't see, but you know will change your community tomorrow.
Yeah. Sort of like the way they used to do it in Egypt or, you know,
classical
Greece.
Yeah, but there they didn't give you water or food, and they just replaced you.
Gabe Silverman, developer here in Charlottesville. And we've been honored to have him live in studio. Thank you for being here, and I do hope that we can do this again. Would love
to have
your thoughts. Oh, before I let you go, I want you to chime in on the big controversies of the day. Your thoughts about the Meadow Creek Parkway, which, of course, it's been a controversy now for about 40 years. The latest manifestation of the citizens up in arms to fight it is the Save the Park group. But there's been groups, citizen groups, fighting this road back into the early 70s.
Just a thought, you know, what you're doing is saying, okay, we still need cars, so we need the Meadow Creek Parkway. What if you put satellite parking pretty far away and put an alternative way of getting in? That's my answer.
Yeah. How about this proposal for the 50-year water supply plan, a huge new reservoir down at Ragged Mountain? Your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are I'm getting the information from people that I don't believe to begin with. Why am I going to give any thoughts about him?
Gabe Silverman, a developer here in Charlottesville. A lot of his work has transformed the fabric of our community, and we've been honored to have him live in studio. Gabe, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Coy. Hope I get to come back.
Absolutely. Anytime.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.